Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
We've got an incredible woman of God that's going to take the stage. I have grown to really love her and her husband Mark. You know who I'm talking about already. But Mark and Mel Ludra, pastor up Port Kennedy campus, and I've really grown to love them across the last 5 years that they've been on the journey with us, and just seen them grow into amazing things that God has done through them. And so tonight, why don't you give an awesome big round of applause, Pastor Mel Ludra, as she comes. She's got an amazing word. Now, you need to know that God will only do in your life to the measure of your expectation. And so tonight, if you're expectant and your heart is open, there is no end to what God is going to do in your life tonight. Amen. Give Pastor Mel another big hand.
Oh, so good. So good. Why don't you stay standing for a little bit longer? Let's give it up for our senior pastors. Aren't they incredible? I love Pastor Ken and Chrissy. Wow. You know, they took a chance on us a few years ago and believed in us and continue to. And we're just so excited for the journey that we've been on. We get to walk in the wake of what they've already journeyed. And that is just such a powerful experience for us. And, you know, this season of wholeness that we're in, you know, we get to journey through that because they've done the hard yards before us. So just so grateful, PK and Chrissy, just so grateful for you guys and what you do and what you bring in this house. So thank you. So good. Hey, why don't you grab your seats? You're so obedient. It's awesome. It's awesome. Yeah, so yeah, my name's Mel, married to the amazing Mark Ludra. We have two boys, Toby and Jonah, and we're based down at the Port Kennedy campus. We love it down there. We love Rockingham. We love that area. It's just such a blessed place, part of the world. And we're just so excited for what God's doing there and what God's going to do in that place. 4 p.m. service. Give me some love today. Let's be responsive. Let's be excited. God's got a word for you tonight. I believe he's going to impact you. I pray that he will, that it's not about me, but it's about what God wants to do in your hearts tonight. Can I share a couple of praise reports with you before I go on? Hey, we had this most incredible praise report come through from one of the guys in our campus. He works with steel and machinery and stuff like that. And this 500-kilo metal box fell on the leg of one of his co-workers while he was working. And he went straight to his aid and tried to shift this box and started to pray. Couldn't move it, but eventually managed to shift this box off this guy's leg just by the intervention of God. And this guy was then taken to hospital, and that night discharged from hospital, no break. That's just incredible, right? Soft tissue damage, bruising, all that, but no broken bones at all, and has made a great recovery. So how incredible is that? He was praying over that young man, and he was just healed and restored. Another one of our families is celebrating because they have been praying with their children that they'd be able to get into this gymnastics program that their kids wanted to get into. And there's this huge long wait line, but they got in so quickly into this program. They're praising God. Now that seems like, you know, we cheer and shout for the metal box being shifted, right? But then the kids' desire to go to this gymnastics program, they've seen God intervene in their life. You know, every single one of these miracles, whether they're big or small, it's a miracle-working power of God at work in someone's life. And has your faith just been lifted now? Yeah, so you know what? Why don't you make sure that you put in a praise report when God moves in your life, whether it's big or small? We want to hear about it because what you share is going to stir up faith in other people. We have a Nations Church app. We've got a website. There's a giving station with prayer cards, praise report cards. You've got no excuse, right? You can just do it right now while I'm talking to you. You can submit a praise report, okay? So make sure you get them in because we want to see the faith of our people built up, okay? God is working in our lives, so let's not keep it hidden. Let's not keep it to ourselves. All right, that's completely nothing to do with what I'm preaching about today, but let's pray before we start, hey? Thank you, God. Lord, I just pray right now. Thank you, Lord, that it is your Holy Spirit that is heard in this place, that it is your voice that speaks to hearts. Yeah, thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your rain they're refreshing, and we pray that you would come and just minister life to every single person in this place. You know what needs to be heard and what needs to be said, and so God, I pray that you'd minister to each and every one. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we've just had my most favorite time, nearly most favorite time of the year in Rockingham. It's something that I look forward to every year. It is our council's annual Verge collection. And I love that time of the year because I am a bit of a chucker, right? So when you have something that's a bit worn out, a bit old, you're a bit tired of that thing, it's a bit broken, you chuck it out. Who's with me? Yes, amen. You chuck it out. All you hoarders out there, I know this is rubbing you the wrong way, but you do. You chuck it out. And so we've just had our annual Verge collection in Rockingham. And here we're going to chuck a picture on the screen. This was like the street near where... Now, I know some of you think Rockingham always looks like that, but it doesn't. But it doesn't. Calm down. Calm down. It doesn't look like that. Once a year, right? Once a year. So this is the Verge collection. And you know, Verge collection is very paradoxical. I had to practice that word a lot. It's very paradoxical because you know what? We all have that junk in our houses, right? And you keep it in your spare room. You keep it in your back closet. You keep it in the shed. You keep it in the garage. You chuck a tarp over it when the guests come, or you close that door, or you close that cupboard. But Verge collection time comes and we pull it all out and we put it on the roadside, don't we? And we say, here we go, council. You come and deal with it. Here it is for all to see. We're not hiding it anymore. We're not keeping that junk behind closed doors. And you know what? We're in this season of wholeness, right? You know where I'm going with this right now. And last week, Pastor Ken and Pastor Chrissy shared with us about wholeness and set the groundwork for what wholeness is all about, and that it is our goal to be whole. Can you say that one? It's our goal to be whole. Awesome. And that wholeness is critical to living that life that God has created you to live. Wholeness is critical to living the life that God has created you to live. And our goal in life is to continually move forward in our wholeness so that all our words, our actions, and our attitudes can reflect Jesus to the world around us. That is our goal. And the reason that we have to move forward in that area is because we all live in varying degrees with some fractured brokenness within us. Yeah, you agree with me? Yeah. So we all have areas of our lives where there is a lack of wholeness and where there is brokenness. We all have this junk. We all have this junk going on inside of us in whatever shape or form it might look. We all have this junk inside of us. And so we would much rather, if I'm sure that many of you would agree with me today, to keep that junk locked away in the black closet, put in the back shed, chuck the tarp over it, keep it hidden and out of sight. But God wants to deal with that junk in our lives. And so we have a choice, don't we? Whether we keep it in the back closet or we bring it out onto the verge for the council or God. I don't like comparing the two, but so that they can come and deal with it. So that God can come and deal with it. And so today I want to speak to you on this thought, deal with your junk. Deal with your junk. So in Luke chapter 5, we come across an account in Scripture where Jesus' disciple Simon Peter is faced with this dilemma of dealing with the junk in his life. With dealing with the junk in his life. And we have that one up on the screen. Brilliant. Luke chapter 5. One day, Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee. The people crowded around him as they listened to God's word. Jesus saw two boats on the shore. The fishermen had stepped out of them and were washing their nets. So Jesus got into the boat that belonged to Simon and asked him to push off a little from the shore. Then Jesus sat down and taught the crowd from the boat. When he finished speaking, he told Simon, "Take the boat into deep water and lower your nets to catch some fish." Simon answered, "Teacher, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but if you say so, I'll lower the nets." After the men had done this, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. Their partners came and filled both boats until the boats nearly sank. When Simon Peter saw this, he knelt in front of Jesus and he said, "Leave me, Lord. I'm a sinful person. Leave me, Lord. I'm a sinful person." What a strange response, right? He just sat in the boat and he heard Jesus preach or teach this incredible teaching, the Word of God. He'd encountered this miracle. So he'd spent all night fishing, no fish. And then Jesus just about sinks both the boats with all the fish they pull in. And in the face of this teaching and in the face of this miracle, Simon Peter goes, "Leave me, Lord. I'm a sinful person." Now, why would he say that, right? Why would he say that? He wants to send Jesus away. But what I want to suggest to you today is that Simon Peter experienced something that we all experience as we journey this relationship with God. That as we encounter him and who he is, we encounter this perfect, astoundingly wonderful, loving God, that we become acutely aware of the brokenness within us, of all the junk that we've got stored in that back shed and in that closet. We become acutely aware of all our pride, our bad attitude, our anger, our hurts, our offenses, our depression, our jealousy, our brokenheartedness, our anxiety, all those things that are broken and messed up about us. In that moment, we become acutely aware. It's almost like Jesus opens the door of that shed, pulls out a torch, and starts to shine a light on all those things that we've kept hidden away, all that junk. And often in that moment or in that time, our response can be like Simon Peter's, where we go, "Leave me, Lord. Leave me, Lord." We can sympathize with him now, right? "Leave me, Lord. Don't go there. It's way too hard. It's way too painful. It's way too confronting. It's way too sad. Just don't go there. Don't bring that brokenness. Don't bring that mess into the light. Don't make me deal with my junk." Now, we can sympathize with that, can't we? But that kind of response will never bring you into the fullness of life that God has for you. That kind of response will never bring you into the full freedom and the joy and the more that God has for you. The reality and the impact of our brokenness doesn't disappear because we deny its existence. Doesn't disappear because we deny its existence any more than stuffing all that junk in your back shed and locking the door makes it magically disappear. Okay? We cannot cause it to disappear by denying its existence. But if we bring our junk out onto the verge, and I'm not saying that you have to bring it before all of us, but all you need to do is bring it before God. If you bring your brokenness and your junk before your Savior, if you bring your issues and your mess before Him, then, at the risk of comparing God again to Rockingham Council, we find that He comes and He deals with it. We find our brokenness restored. We find that freedom from those internal issues that limit us. You know, there are no perfect people in this room. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all had those negative experiences in this world that have left their mark on us. But everyone in this room is called to live a life of freedom and a life of wholeness. And I don't know about you, but I don't want any insecurity. I don't want any anxiety. I don't want any sucky attitude to keep me from living in the full purpose and fullness and wholeness of what God wants for my life. I don't want to be the kind of person who, when my brokenness is revealed, says, "Leave me, Jesus," again and again and again, and just allows that junk to build up in my life. But I want to be the kind of person who continually presents it before Him and allows Him to deal with my junk. Him to deal with my junk. I want to be that kind of person who pursues wholeness and yields every issue of my life to the Savior who can make me whole. to Jesus. This is what the Bible says about Jesus. In John 3:17, it says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." That word save is that Greek word sozo that we heard Ken and Chrissy talk to us about last week. It means to be healed and to be made whole. Yes, it's talking about salvation, but it's also talking about the ongoing restoration towards wholeness that Jesus Christ performs in our lives as we yield our junk to him. You see, Jesus didn't come to condemn you. He came to sozo you. He came to save you from your sin and to restore you to wholeness. Now, if that's his mode of operation, then every time he reveals your brokenness to you, every time he opens that door and shines a light on that junk, he's not doing that to condemn you. He's not doing that to condemn you because Jesus reveals to restore. Jesus reveals to restore. Catch this. Every revealing of your brokenness by God is an invitation to take another step towards wholeness. To take another step towards wholeness. It's not an indication that you should say, "Leave me, Lord." It's not an indication that you should back off. It's not an indication that you should retreat, but it's an invitation to move forward, to deal with your junk by bringing it before Jesus Christ and allowing the one who left heaven, came to earth, and died for you to sozo you and restore you to wholeness. The Apostle Paul compares this moving towards wholeness to the action of a runner in a race. In Philippians 3:12, we read, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, listen to the words he uses in there. Paul is aware that he hasn't hit the mark. He's aware that he's still got junk in his life. He's saying, I haven't already attained it. I'm not already perfected. I haven't fully apprehended this. He's not satisfied where he is, but he doesn't use this awareness of his brokenness to retreat, to withdraw, to back off, but instead he determines to press on. He likens himself like this runner in a race that is striving for the finish line. You know those guys that they burst through the line with their chest hits at first? Their arms are behind them. He is pressing and straining towards that finish line. He's applying serious energy and action to deal with the junk in his life and to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of him. And he gives us this example to follow in how we move towards wholeness. He says, "There's one thing I do. There's one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind. And I reach forward to those things which are ahead." In pressing forward, there is this leaving behind. There's this breaking away from the old ways, from the way that he used to be, from the attitudes he used to have, from the perception that he used to operate from, so that he can reach forward to what God has for him. When my kids were younger, they used to love climbing on monkey bars. Do you know what monkey bars are? Yeah, awesome. They're that kind of ladder thing that they can climb up one side and they swing across the top and then they hop down on the other side. And you know, when you first put your kids up on the monkey bar for the first time, they hold onto that first rung with both hands and they do not let go. You have to coax them, right? You have to say, okay, you've got to let go with one hand and reach forward to take hold of the next one. And then reach forward to take hold of the next one. You see, to keep moving forward to wholeness, you have to be willing to continually let go of the old. You have to let go and take hold of the next. Move on from the old and take hold of the next. That's why Scripture says that anyone who belongs to Christ is a new creation. The old life is what? Gone. And a new life has begun. When you're saved, you move into this new life. you move into this new life, a life lived with Christ, where the state of your heart, your motivations, your perceptions are now shaped by Christ. And as he deals with your junk, he brings you more and more away from the old and into the new, into this place of wholeness, into this place of fullness in him. So we're not to be these hoarders of junk. We're not to be these hoarders where we hold on to the old ways of life, the old us, the old perceptions, the old ways. But we are to continually let go of those and allow God to make us new. And allow God to make us new. You know, Paul cautions us about going onto or going back to the old way of life. In Galatians 5 verse 1, he says this, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." And then he says, "Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." We have to stand firm in our freedom, first of all. He uses that word, stand firm. It's like planting your feet. Don't allow the old thing to pull you back to this old way, to be burdened again, what Paul refers to by a yoke of slavery. Now, this yoke of slavery, it's an agricultural illustration. A yoke was like this wooden bar. We've got a picture, actually. I hope we can set up. Yeah, awesome. We've got this wooden bar that goes across the necks of these two oxen. Their heads would go through those loops and they're bound together by this yoke. They have to do everything together. And then into this yoke, some rods are attached or some bands are attached. And then they are hooked onto a plow or a wagon. And so that yoke becomes a symbol of oppression over those oxen. They can't move. They can't do anything. They are completely under the control of the driver that holds onto those bands that is attached to that yoke. They are completely under control. And this is a metaphor of the old life. This is a metaphor of the brokenness and the way that it can be a burden to our lives, the way that it can control us, the way that it can drive us, that we can be burdened, weighed down, oppressed, or limited by the heavy weight of our sin and our brokenness. It's a picture of somebody who is completely bound to the brokenness in their life. It's the reason why you might find that you always react the way you do when things go wrong. The way you always react by being self-depreciating when someone tries to build you up. The way that you can't shake that addiction. The way that you always end up in relationships that are destructive. The way you just can't move past that traumatic event in your life. The way that you just never feel like that you actually belong anywhere. It's the opposite of Christ's intention for you. His intention for you is that you would be free and that you would live a life of freedom. It is the work of the enemy to keep you bound up to your brokenness, so that although you're saved, you will be limited in your ability to influence your world. The account of the nation of Israel is a prophetic picture of how God deals with our junk and breaks the yoke of bondage from our lives. The Israelites had been kept in slavery in Egypt for generations. We know the story. They were physically, they were spiritually burdened. And as they cried out for God for freedom, he heard their cry and he responded by sending Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh. They demand their freedom and ultimately they're set free. And then when they are free, we read in Leviticus 26:13, God speaking to Moses about their freedom and when they are living in the wilderness. And he says this, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright." I've broken the bands of your yoke and I've made you walk upright. You see, the bands of the yoke caused them to live life as slaves. It caused them to live life oppressed and burdened and weighed down. But when God came into the picture and he broke the yoke of their life, they now walked upright. That walking upright was symbolic of being a free man or a free woman. It meant that they no longer were bound and burdened by the slavery that they had been oppressed by, but now they were free. They walked upright. They were able to live outside of what it meant to be a slave. You see, you can walk through life as a slave, or you can walk through life free. And the difference between those two positions is that you allow Jesus to deal with your junk. Is if you allow Jesus to deal with your junk. You see, he is the one who comes and breaks the bands of the yoke. He is the one and comes and breaks it to pieces and makes it so that you can be free. It makes it so you can walk upright. And just as he dealt with the Israelites' junk, just as he broke the yokes off their life, he can deal with ours. He is an expert at dealing with junk. He is an expert of restoring the broken. He is an expert of setting people free. We don't need to hide our junk from him. We don't need to keep it behind closed doors. We can simply bring it before him and allow him to deal with it. Band, you can join me. I want to jump ahead. You know, we read this scripture about Simon Peter, and I just want to jump ahead a couple more years. You see, after Simon spent those 3 years with Jesus, and then we know how Jesus was crucified and then rose again to life. And then after his resurrection, he spent time with his disciples and other people before he ascended to the Father. And in the lead up to Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus predicted, and then Simon Peter actually denied Jesus 3 times. He had completely failed his Savior. He completely messed up. His brokenness in that time got the better of him. His junk was put on display, so to speak, for the world to see. And after his resurrection, when Jesus appeared to his disciples, they were out fishing. And it says this in John 21. It says, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, and the disciples didn't realize that it was him. And Jesus called out to them, "Friends, have you got any fish?" And they said, "No." And then Jesus said, "Throw your nets to the right side of the boat and you'll find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of such a large number of fish. And then John said to Peter, "It is the Lord." They'd been there. They'd done that before. They knew that this is Jesus' MO. This is what he does. And as soon as Simon Peter heard John say, "It is the Lord," he didn't say, "Leave me, God." He didn't say, "Turn your eyes away from me." He didn't say, "Don't expose my junk." No, he wrapped his outer garment around him and he jumped in the water and he went to Jesus. He went to Jesus. You know, the reason he did that is because he knew, he'd learned over those 3 years, that when your junk has been revealed, that you don't say, "Leave me, Jesus," but you jump in that water and you go straight to him. Because you see, Jesus is the one who brings that restoration and that healing. He's the one you need to run to when you've failed. He's the one you need to run to when your brokenness is revealed. He's the place for the broken and the sinful person to be in, to come before him. In Isaiah 10:27, it talks about Jesus. It says, "It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil." And some people translate that as the anointed one, the anointed one. You see, coming before the presence of God is where the yoke is broken. Coming before the presence of God is where our brokenness is healed and where we find that complete and perfect restoration. Come on, let's stand to our feet. You know, this idea of wholeness is such a big part of my own journey. It has been, and it always will be now, because though it's painful to open that door and let Jesus shine a light on that junk, the freedom on the other side is so worth it. So worth it. And I remember a few years ago when Mark and I first started coming here to Nations Church, there's such a grace and anointing on this place for wholeness. There's such a grace and anointing on this place to be restored. But when we first came into this place, there was so much brokenness in us. And I mean, that stuff's still there, right? We're on a journey of being restored. We haven't hit the mark. But when we first came into this place, I can remember coming in and just being so overwhelmed by the love and the grace on this house. But also at the same time, having this voice scream inside me saying, you don't belong. Saying you don't fit in. And I'm tearing up because I can sense that there's people here have that same feeling tonight. That maybe you came here tonight for the first time and you've walked in this place and you've gone, yeah, there's something special about this place, but I've just got this voice inside me saying, I don't belong. It's not right that you're here. But can I tell you right now, that's a lie. That's just the junk talking to you right now. Because you stay here, you stick it out, and there's a wholeness for you on the other side. There's a wholeness for you on the other side. But the first step in that journey is to come before Jesus. The first step in that journey is to have Him in your life as a Savior, as your friend, as the one that you do life with. That's the first step in overcoming that voice. That's the first step of dealing with your junk. So we're going to just take a moment right now to give people in this place an opportunity to take that step. We're going to close our eyes and we're going to bow our heads right now. There's a presence of God in the room. And even if you don't feel like you belong here, you need to know that God so loved you that He gave His only Son to die on a cross for you. So important and precious is your life to Him that He died for you. And so today, while every head's bowed and every eye's closed, I just want to give you an opportunity to come in relationship with Jesus Christ, to say yes to living your life with Him, to go on that journey of being saved and healed and restored and entering into that place of joy and freedom that only He can bring. So just while every head's bowed and every eye's closed, if you want to make that decision today, if you want to invite Jesus into your life, as I look across the room right now, just let me know that's you by raising your hand. I'm just going to acknowledge your hand and you're going to put it straight back down. I'm just looking across the room right now to see if that's you. You're so worth it. You're so worth it, you know. I'm just looking across the room right now. Don't let this opportunity go by to say yes to Jesus. He wants to bring you into a place of freedom that can only be found in Him. Is that you in this place? I don't see any hands, so we're gonna just stay in the presence of God right now. Don't get distracted. Just stay right where you are. You know, it's the Anointed One. It's Jesus Christ who breaks the yoke. It's His presence that brings wholeness. It's His presence that brings healing and restoration. And like I shared before about that voice that I had in my head that said that I didn't belong, that always told me that I was not right, that I wasn't good enough to be in this place or in any place where God was trying to excel me, promote me, move me forward. As I brought my junk again and again before God, He was faithful to heal it. He was faithful to restore me. He was faithful to remove it and take it away. It's coming before the presence of God that brings the healing, that brings the restoration, that brings what you need so desperately to come into your life and remove that junk, remove that mess. And so we're going to take a moment to seeing how there is power in the name of Jesus. And as we sing that song, just let those words wash over you. Just enter into the presence of God.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.